Brothers and sisters, it's good to be back with you on this Lord's Day. You know, I've said many times that I preach the doctrine of God's sovereign grace. It's never my intention to be political. I preach to God's children who are saved by grace, but live in an immoral world. You know, it's morality that I'm concerned about, not political parties or race or nationality or gender, but immorality affects all of these groups of people. It affects our nation as a whole. It affects our children and the kind of people they grow up to be. And that affects what kind of society we'll live in 50 and 100 years from now. You know, every day I read the news and I read about all the things going on in this country that are contrary to God's word. You know, I've been thinking a lot about Make America Great Again. You know, brothers and sisters, Make America Great Again is not a political statement. When you think about what made America great in the first place, you'll realize that Make America Great Again is a moral statement. America's greatness is rooted in her foundation, and that foundation is the law of God. Our scripture text for today's message is Psalms 33 and 12. David said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance." This scripture may be in the Old Testament, but it can't be limited to the children of Israel. God is also the God of the Gentiles. He's the God of all mercy and all grace. Look at the verses that lead up to our text in verse 12. We'll start with verse 8, which says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord, for he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generation." Now, brothers and sisters, I wish I could say today that the God of America is the Lord. It isn't. Do you wonder why I say that? Now, you're wondering why I can make that statement, but listen to me now. Most of you who are listening to me today are born-again Christians. If you weren't, you wouldn't be listening to me. But most of you attend church regularly and live a moral life. Most of your friends are Christians, but you are in the minority in this country. Now, I know what the statistics say. 75% of Americans, they identify with a Christian religion. Just because people identify with something, that doesn't mean they live by it. By the way, the 75% who identify as Christians now is down from 90% in the 1950s, from the 1950s until now. Now, let's just consider that 75% of Americans today are Christians. That means that 25% are not. But I can tell you one thing, it's a whole lot less than 75% of our Christians. And I can tell that by the immoral behaviors that Americans approve of. 60% of Americans approve of gay and lesbian relationships. Does that sound like that the majority of people are Christians in this country? 60% approve of having a baby out of wedlock. 63% approve of sex outside of marriage. 59% approve of abortion. 64% approve of gambling. So if only 25% of Americans are not Christians, then why is the approval of immoral behavior so high? It's because a lot of people say they're Christians, but they're not. They're like those in Matthew 7 who claim to do many wonderful works in Jesus' name. And Jesus said, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." Now, what I'm going to tell you next will explain a lot. Of the people born between 19 and 27 and 19 and 45, 65% are Bible-based believers. Of those born since 1984, only 4% are Bible-based believers. When the generations of Americans born before 1945 are dead and gone, America will officially be a heathen nation. Brothers and sisters, a very, very scary thought, but that's exactly right. A heathen nation. The governor of New York said America was never that great. Anyone who makes a statement like that doesn't know what made America great in the first place. Our founding fathers knew what would make this country great. The evidence is in our founding documents and the things they said. Patrick Henry said, "It is when people forget God that tyrants forge their chains." Benjamin Franklin said, "Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right by the laws of God and nature. Man will ultimately be governed by God or by tyrants." Abraham Lincoln said in his Thanksgiving proclamation in 1863, "We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own." Now, Lincoln was right. We became too self-sufficient, too prosperous, and too proud to feel the need of redeeming and preserving grace and pray to the God that made us. Instead, we have followed the path of the Israelites. The Apostle Paul describes their descent into immorality in the first chapter of the book of Romans. Now let's look at verses 21 through 25. Paul says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Paul is describing here the Israelites. They knew God. They had God's laws. They had seen miracles of deliverance. They had been led through the wilderness by God's presence in a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. But in the promised land, they abandoned God and worshiped pagan idols made like birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now, God promised to make Israel great. He told Abraham in Genesis 12 and 2, "I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Now in Genesis 46 and 3, God told Jacob, whom he renamed Israel, "I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation." God said Israel would be a great nation. But what was it that actually made them great? What made this nation? This nation that God was talking about, what made them so great? Moses tells the Israelites what made them great in the fourth chapter of Deuteronomy. The Israelites will soon be crossing into the promised land, but because of Moses' disobedience, God will not permit him to go with them. This is Moses' farewell to the people he led from bondage in Egypt through 40 years, 40 years in the wilderness. Moses says to the Israelites in Deuteronomy 4, verses 5, listen to me, verse 5 through 8, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgment, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land, whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great, that hath statutes and judgments so righteous, as all this law which I set before you this day?" Moses declares that Israel's greatness is in the righteous statutes and laws of God. The only other nation in the history of mankind that was founded on the righteous statutes and judgments of God is the United States of America. Israel and this country founded upon the statutes and judgments of God, the righteous statutes. What made Israel a great nation is the same thing that made America great. Because America was founded on the righteous statutes and laws of God, she was blessed to become a great military power that protected weaker nations. And America became a great economic power that helped third world countries. America became the land of opportunity to millions of immigrants who made a new life for themselves right here and became Americans. America has been known as the greatest nation on earth, and compared to all the other nations in the world, she still may be the greatest, but not because of what made her great in the first place, is what I'm telling you. Now listen to me, brothers and sisters, what I've got to say now. Very important. You know, America has abandoned God's righteous statutes and his laws, and has become a nation that is hated by many of the nations in the world. When Israel abandoned God, he sent the prophet Jeremiah with a message. Now Jeremiah 6:16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." America has said the same thing. We will not walk in God's righteous statutes and laws. That's what America is proclaiming today, brothers and sisters. Now God said that thou shalt not kill. And every year we murder 1 million babies in the womb. Every day, hundreds of children are abducted and murdered in satanic ritual sacrifices. God said, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It's an abomination, brothers and sisters, but we've made same-sex marriage the law of the land. God said, thou shalt not commit adultery, but 22% of men and 14% of women have committed adultery at least once in their marriage. 53% of married Americans would cheat if given the chance. And this is the thing, and it's hard for me to overcome these statistics for adultery, that they're the same in the church as they are outside of the church. What kind of people are we? God says, thou shalt not steal, but 29% of Americans are shoplifters. And property theft results in losses estimated at $15 billion per year. God says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. But 77% of Americans see no point in observing the Sabbath. 85% of Americans are not in church on any given weekend. Now God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. But every week, more and more Americans abandon worship for some kind of recreation. Here's what God told the Israelites, who told him that they would not seek the old paths and walk therein. Said, "Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil on this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened, because they have not hearkened to my words, nor to my law." That's us today, brothers and sisters. But they rejected it. We've rejected it. To make America great again, we must make America great in the same way America was great before. That the same way America was great from the beginning. We must turn back to God, brothers and sisters. We have to turn back to God as a nation. We must repent as a nation. We must get rid of the corruption and evil in our federal, state, and local governments. We must turn from our sins and make America a moral nation again. If you think America is already great, you must love seeing. Now listen to me now. I'm talking to you straight now. And this is the truth. If you think America is great, already great, you must love seeing babies murdered in the womb and baby parts being sold on the black market to be used in satanic ritual worship. You must love seeing same-sex couples grope each other in the public, and that's what happened. You can see it on television now. You must love seeing transgender men use women's restrooms and molest our daughters. You must love having MS-13 gang members cross our border illegally and murder our children. If you think America's already great, you must love all the opioids coming across the border so our children can become addicted. You must also love seeing our law enforcement officers ambushed and murdered while they're trying to save lives. You must love seeing professional athletes disrespect our flag and Hollywood actors using profanity and making threats against our president. You must love all the filth that comes into your home on the television set and poisons the mind of your young children. And that's what it's doing. And if you think America is great right now, then you must think these things are great, because there's more of these things than there is of the moral things that God has told his children to adhere to. Now I'm telling you, it's a sad looking time. You know, you must love looking the other way while corrupt politicians send billions of our tax dollars in cash on pallets to Iran to fund what? To fund ISIS. ISIS who blows us up, who kills us, who wants to blow our buildings up. You know, you must love seeing all the sanctuary cities that are protecting illegals who've broken our laws and even murdered our citizens. You say this country's great? Economic prosperity is good, but without a moral society, I've just painted a picture of what we have now. What do you think this country will be like if we continue on the path that we're on? You listen to me now. These are some things we need to, as Christians, think about. If you're a Christian, you need to be concerned about it. Now, God made an assessment of the state of Israel in the verses before he told them to stand in the way and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? Here's what God said. Far from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there's no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, does that sound like America to you? It does to me. We live in a covetous nation, and from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. Have you looked at our churches lately now? Look at what was going on in the Catholic Church. There are so many accusations of pedophilia among the Catholic diocese in this country, and the scandal is reaching all the way to the Vatican. We live in a sick society, brothers and sisters, a sick society. We are morally bankrupt. The church is morally bankrupt, and the whole country is morally bankrupt. So what can we do? Is there a remedy for moral bankruptcy? If you are a child of God, then you are of Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise, as Paul explains in Galatians 3:29. Do you believe what the Bible says? Then you need to be listening to what I'm telling you. This is the truth that comes straight from God's word. If God blesses America, it will not be for the sake of the nation itself, but for the sake of his people. And the remedy for America depends upon God's people, his elect, turning from their worldly ways back to a holy God who chose them before the foundation of the world and sanctified them as a peculiar people. The remedy for escaping God's wrath today is still the same as God told Solomon in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Listen to what this scripture says. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. First, God says, if my people which are called by my name, God is talking to his people. He's not calling the heathen to mend their ways. He isn't talking to the devil's children. He's talking to his own children. They are his people, which are called by his name. He's talking to true Christians, those who have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. What must God's people do? God says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. Proverbs 16:5 says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. In Romans 1:28-30, the proud are among those that God gave over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not suitable or proper. This is how God feels about pride now. How does he feel? He hates it. I'm telling you, God hates pride. Pride is excessive belief in one's own abilities that interferes with the individual's recognition of the grace of God. It's been called the sin from which all others arise. It's the mother of all sins. It elevates humans and their desires above the will of God. It allows men to believe that God cannot save man without his permission. It prevents men from seeing their total depravity. The world promotes conceit and pride and selfishness and self-will, but the Bible warns against conceit and pride and selfishness, self-will and self-centeredness. The Bible warns us against these things. Bible Christianity exalts service to others far above desire for self. Now God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Now 1 John the 5th chapter the 14th through the 15th verse says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. I'm telling you, God answers prayer if what we ask is according to his will. And that is the primary desire of any child of God. How do you say, how do we know his will? Study the Bible. You'll know his will. He'll let you know in his word that what his will is for his children. And it's not these things that you're seeing today that comes out of Hollywood. These things that you're bringing into your home on the TV. That's not God's will. He didn't want us to be doing those things and letting our family indulge in them. But he wanted us to be in his will. John 9 and 31 says, now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Him he heareth. Now Proverbs 15 and 29 says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. If any man is righteous, it is because he is clothed in the righteousness of Christ. James 5 and 16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Isaiah told the children of Israel in Isaiah 59, 2 and 3, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. Proverbs 28:9 says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. You know, that's a strong statement right there. Strong words from the Word of God. It says, and sometimes you read that. Proverbs 28:9. It states this, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. This entire nation has turned its ear away from hearing the law. People don't want to hear about the Ten Commandments. They don't want, if you don't believe that, you see what's happening in our public places. They don't want to see the Ten Commandments in our public places. And they don't want their children to be taught the Ten Commandments in school. They're God's laws, and God says those who turn away from hearing the law, even his prayer, shall be an abomination. You think this country is not an abomination to the Lord? The Lord God Almighty, the one that we believe in the Holy Bible? You think it's not an abomination? Well, that's exactly what this country is. It's an abomination because it's turned its ear from God. No wonder God says, first, humble yourselves and then pray. It's the only way. He will hear our prayers, brothers and sisters. God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. When you are seeking God's face, you are seeking his heart and his mind. What is more important than that? David was anointed king because the Lord sought out a man after his own heart. God promises in Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And God's children can seek God. The heathen, they can't seek God. They don't have the ability to seek God. But the child of God does. That's what we need to be doing as children of God in this nation. The problem is most people who think they are seeking God are seeking his hands, not his heart. They're seeking what God can do for them. And don't you hear that in prayers? Their prayers to him consist of please heal, please give, please fix. This is not seeking God. And this is definitely not seeking his face. This was Israel's greatest sin. They went whoring after other gods. God had taken Israel as his wife, and they took other gods into their hearts. They committed spiritual adultery. This was the worst sin of all, turning from God, seeking idol gods. Spiritual Israel is the church, the bride of Christ. Those who belong to Christ must seek the face of the one who purchased them with his blood. When we seek God to know him as he truly is, we will come to understand his will for our lives and be able to pray accordingly. Now, the last condition in God's statement is, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and listen to what it says, and turn from their wicked ways. Remember, God is addressing his people. He's not addressing those who made false professions sometime in their youth and have gone to church all their lives and now hold prominent positions in the church. He's not addressing those who made some kind of profession without repentance and a genuine turning from sin. He's not addressing those who walked the aisle and shook the pastor's hand but show no signs of being a new creature in Christ. Now our churches are full of people who are hanging on to their false professions because their pride will not allow them to admit they were never, never truly saved. God's not talking to these people. They're not his people. He's only talking to his people now. These are the people God is calling on to turn from their wicked ways. Those that are he's calling on to make a difference in this society that we live in today now. We can't change the things in the past, but I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, if we follow in God's ways and do his will, we can make a difference in this country. Now that's what will make America great again. Great like it was the nation that it was founded upon. Now, what will God do if his people humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways? First, God says, I will hear from heaven. When God's people turn from the sin that separates them from God, he will acknowledge their cries for mercy. David said in Psalm 66 and 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. God will recognize the petitions of his people. Only when they turn away from their wicked ways and return to him and return to the one true and living God. Now, second, God says, I will forgive their sins. When God's people humble themselves and cry for mercy, he will forgive. Only from a position of humility will God's people ever realize that they don't deserve his mercy. They deserve his wrath. Only when they seek his face, will they ever realize that they are totally depraved, unable to help themselves, and they deserve to be consumed. Only when they turn from their wicked ways will they be forgiven. Now, you know, the big thing about this, God himself has provided this remedy for his children. When God's children humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. God will heal this land now. It's what I'm telling you. He'll heal it of its immorality. Those things that are coming into our homes that destroy our families. Those things straight out of Hollywood. Immoral acts. Those things that are stated in the Bible that we should stand up against. And he'll destroy God. I'm telling you, God will destroy the evil that has infested this country for decades. And only then will America be great again. May the Lord bless you.